Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. This is a live radio show, live radio program with Ed Battagliano joining me. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
I just say live because, you know, a lot of shows are taped.
Yes.
And edited.
That's right.
And I just, you know, what we bring to the table here is just right off the top of our heads.
That's right, and you can't tell.
Right, and that's for better or for worse.
That's
Fred Jackson's that's with true. Me, too. Fred, good morning to you. Welcome
good.
Back.
Yeah, good to be back.
Been out a couple of days.
Out a couple of days on some AFR business.
Was it really our business? We're trusting you on that.
Yes, sir.
Okay, because we'll see the credit card receipts. And if we see Las Vegas on there, Fred,
I'm done.
We're going to have questions for you. And
Fred is the last guy I would ever think to go to Las Vegas.
We're going to have to convene an inspector general and have you testify.
I'm glad you mentioned Las Vegas because you might see something about a hockey game. No, I'm only kidding.
Listen, Fred won't even flip a coin with me for the last bag of popcorn.
Fred's to the right of you and me combined. Is that what you're telling me?
That's right. Absolutely okay. Nothing to chance.
Mr. Conservative.
That's
all right. Dr. Ray Pritchard's on with us from Kansas City, KS. How you doing, Ray?
Hey, I'm doing great. Tim, how are you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for being on with us. No traveling for you this fall?
I'm heading tomorrow up to Omaha doing a weekend conference with some friends in the Mennonite Brethren movement, but I'm here today.
And, that's 3 hours from you, four?
Yeah, about 2.5-3 hours up the road from Kansas City.
Yeah, I've told the story about me turning off right there at St. Joe, going to Grand Island, Nebraska a few years ago.
Right, you could get lost pretty easy.
It's a corn maze. From St. Joe to Grand Island is a corn maze.
Maze is another word for corn.
Yeah, you have to weave and bob your way through there. And then I hit a Saturday afternoon in Lincoln in October.
Football crowd? Corn Huskers?
Yeah, it was it was the people who worship the Corn Huskers were
hey,
there.
Ken, yes, before we go get ahead, started please, on the news, a couple of things. First of all, for our listeners who would like to watch us, we question your judgment, but if you want to watch us on the internet, you can go to Facebook or YouTube.
Yes, you
and
can.
And type in Today's Issues. Search
join the family there.
Yes, there are people on Facebook who they have regular picnics and stuff together. Yeah. They're always talking. They know each other.
The Facebook comments, by the way, and Brent tries to respond when we can.
I try to keep up with reading. Yeah. Brent keeps up with them. I do want to make one other mention radio-wise is we are now gathering stories to play during our October Share-a-thon, Tim, Fred, and Ray. That is October 15, 16, and 17. Share-a-thon. So we're gathering stories. We'd like to hear from you who are listening. Has American Family Radio, for example, made a difference in your life?
Testimony story about AFR's impact on you, and we want to use those during Share-a-thon to play to encourage other listeners.
Right, and they encourage us. Here.
Amen.
So here's how you do that. We want to hear your AFR story. Please call this number, 877-876-8893. I'll give that again. 877-876-8893. You'll be walked through the process. Press this button. And so you just share for a minute or two. We don't want your life story, as exciting as that might be. We just want a minute or two. And you might hear yourself during Share-a-thon. 877-876-8893.
And I think we offer that in like 17 different languages. So you may have to listen to, you know, if you want this in English and then 16 other languages, most people don't.
For Russian, press 3.
Yes, press 3.
For Swahili, press 6. You know.
So to leave your testimony, we are looking for a couple of minutes. And I had a guy write me yesterday who lives in Texas. And he said, Ray, he said, I got saved. I came to know Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior in 2017, listening to a program on American Family.
Wow. That's awesome. What it's all about.
That's awesome. I can't tell you how exciting that is for us when we hear that. We want to know that God is making a difference in people's lives.
We believe in the God of the Bible, and we're unapologetic about that.
And we believe in the Bible of that God.
Amen. That'd be a good song there.
Or a good bumper sticker.
Yeah. Yeah.
You folks have at it.
All right. So you're listening to Today's Issues. By the way, Todd Starnes, the shy and quiet Todd Starnes, will be with us in just a few minutes to take over the show. So, Fred, what do you got?
Well, as we speak, the acting director of National Intelligence, Joseph McGuire.
I didn't know there was one.
Yep, there
is. Can you be a non-acting director of intelligence?
They may have one of those, too. It's Washington.
I'd apply for that one.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. Sorry.
He is appearing before the House Intelligence Committee.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to make any smart remarks about putting those words together.
I wouldn't dare.
No, wouldn't do it. Anyway, he has been called in to testify in the wake of the so-called whistleblower complaint. I think
Crangate.
Yeah, I heard about all about it by now. The so-called phone call between the President of the United States and the newly elected President of the Ukraine. And in that phone call, the President congratulating the then newly elected Ukraine President and saying, you know, look forward to working with you and... you know, a couple of things going on in your country. We're just wondering if you're going to be investigating something that happened with regards when Joe Biden was vice president of the United States and questions about his son, Hunter, getting financial benefits from a Ukrainian natural resources company.
You understate, Fred. Let me just say this before you continue with this particular story. I was reading yesterday about this situation with Joe Biden's son. His name is Hunter. He was one of the reasons President Trump was bringing this up with this fella, this newly elected president, was that Joe Biden, the then vice president's son, while he was vice president, joined a was invited to be on the board of directors of an energy company in the Ukraine. And Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, there's nothing wrong with that necessarily in and of itself, but he had no experience whatsoever in the energy field. Typically, when you invite somebody to be on your board of directors for whatever your cause is or your business is, they have a particular expertise that they can bring to the board to help the company, and then they're compensated for it. That's normal business procedure.
But the fact that Hunter Biden did not have any expertise is why they hardly paid him anything, right?
Exactly. That'd be like me putting me on the board of a neurosurgeon, company or something like a neurosurgeon. Anyway, the point is, you know how much he was making? Do you know? I'm asking a rhetorical question because I want to be the one to say it. Do you know, Craig?
The report I heard was $50K a month.
$50,000 a month, but
whoa.
That's why they paid him so little, is because he didn't have any experience.
$50,000 a year.
$50,000
a month.
As they say, that's good work if you can get it. I mean,
for three years, he got paid $50,000 a month.
Man.
How much? How much is that?
$600,000 a year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
For three years.
It's $1.8 million for a guy who doesn't know anything about that field.
Right. The media, the most of the media is not mentioning this at all.
They don't care about that.
Huh?
They don't care at all about that
part
of the story.
And he made a sweetheart deal, did Hunter Biden, after he flew on Air Force Two with his dad to China.
That's right.
A week after they went to China, his company got several $1 billion, I think, invested. Mm-hmm. In their company. I mean, I got to give it up to the guy. He was killing it.
Yeah. He did good.
It's
good to have friends in high places.
I'm just saying there is a genesis to this. There is a reason that this happened. that the president mentioned this to, if you were president of the United States, and shouldn't our company know if our vice president is influencing for personal gain?
Well, and we need to mention the other ingredient to the initial story.
Which is what?
Vice President Joe Biden calls up the
He was Ukrainian, there in his presence,
Ukrainian
wasn't he?
President. No, calls him up.
Okay.
And he says, "You got." He actually was in the Ukraine.
He was Biden there. Yeah, he was there.
"You got 6 hours to fire the prosecutor who's investigating the company
that his son's on the board of."
Right. You got 6 hours.
So that's the context of President Trump's call.
Yeah.
I mean, President Trump's. It wasn't the whole call of his mentioning this in.
Yes.
In the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't just Trump going after his political enemies, is what I'm saying, which right. is how the Democrats are wanting to frame this.
Right. Yes, which leads us to today and the House Intelligence Committee headed by little Adam Shifty.
That's what President Trump calls
him. The president.
By the way, let me just say that if this were absent any context at all, the background we just gave, and the president was just asking about Joe Biden because he was his political opponent, then I would have a problem with that because it would seem as if I'm using a hypothetical here, but I'm just saying you don't want your president or any government official using their office to harass a private citizen. Joe Biden's not a private citizen. Or even their political opponent just for political gain. You guys understand what
right.
I'm saying?
Sure.
Ray, you understand what I'm talking
Got
about?
It. Yeah.
So, but this is not this at all. And by the way, for the Democrats, the whole Russia thing started with them wanting to make up phony news on using some Russian person against President Trump.
I mean, well, it was a British former intelligence aide, Christopher Steele, who got the information from Russia,
right, to influence the election.
To influence the election, and that came
from Hillary Clinton.
Hillary Clinton and
Go ahead,
Democratic
Fred.
National Committee.
Sorry, I keep interrupting you. Go ahead.
All right. Well, this is how the chairman of the committee, Adam Schiff, opened up the remarks this morning. And
do I have to listen to this, Fred? Is this necessary to the story?
Nah. Okay. He said the transcript of the conversation between President Trump and the president of Ukraine, Zelensky, reads like a classic organized crime shakedown.
I think he actually said mafia, didn't he? Did he say mafia or just
He worked
crime?
Mafia in there, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He Which I took
like a mafia
personally as a personal insult.
Shakedown.
We don't work that way.
Ed the Italian was sensitive to mafia jokes.
Now that's how it all started off, and it is political theater that's going on there, and is being carried live by most of the networks. I bet you CNN, and I know Fox is doing it too. But what you're going to see tonight is on the major networks, you're going to see the attempt by the Democrats to make Joseph McGuire, the acting director of National Intelligence, say that the whistleblower's complaint is credible. Now, Devin Nunes is the ranking member of the House Intelligence Committee. He brings this up in his questions of McGuire, and we're going to play this for you right now. It's cut number 12, Brent, cut number 12.
You're going to be part of a charade of legal word games. They're going to try to get you to say something that can be repeated by the media that is here that wants to report this story. One of the quotes they're going to use from you is you saying that this was a credible complaint. That will be used and spun as you're saying that it was true.
The determination on credible was made by the IC Inspector General. He made the determination that it is credible, and he also made the determination of urgent concern. My question was not, I did not question his judgment there. The question I had was, does in fact this allegation of wrongdoing meet the criteria, the statutory criteria of urgent concern? And the other issue, as I said, complicated things, did it in fact, the allegations within this whistleblower complaint involve executive privilege?
Was that Nadler at the end? Who was
no,
that?
No, no, that was McGuire responding to Nunes. Okay. There's two things, urgent matter, I think that's right. the term that he used. That is actually a legal term.
Right.
So he was asked, okay, is this an urgent matter? And he says it doesn't meet the legal criteria of urgent matter. Urgent matter is the president was compromising our intelligence community. Yeah. The other thing on executive privilege of this phone call, that's not his determination to make. That's the determination of the legal counsel of the White House as to whether the phone call is executive privilege. Now, initially they said it's executive privilege, but then the president says, hey, I'm going to make the transcript public, which is what he did this week. So yeah. It's out there for the world to see.
Right.
There's no hiding.
I think the Democrats are in a scramble mode. The Democrats are in a two-minute offense, and their players are all looking at each other, going, what are we going to do? Now that we're going to impeach, what are we going to do? How are we going to go? You know what
right.
I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Got to have something to. Who's going to say what? Where are we going to go with this? We got to have something to
right.
nail to the wall on this guy. All right. That was a lot of metaphors. Nail to the wall, two-minute offense.
I loved it. Okay. Plenty of metaphors. Yes.
All right.
It was like a warm bath on a cold day. That's what those metaphors were like.
A warm bath on a cold day. I've never heard that metaphor.
I just made it up just right
now. Oh, you
now.
Did?
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Todd Starnes is with us. Todd joins us from, I don't know where Todd is today. He travels, and then he lives in the lovely city Gotham. Todd, where are you today, brother?
Guys, I'm in Redneck Vegas, Pigeon Forge, Tennessee.
You're in Pigeon Forge today? Were you speaking?
I am at the National Quartet Convention. And you're not going to believe this. I've run into David Jeremiah, Robert Jeffers, and the Swan, Dennis Swanberg.
Swanberg's still around, huh? Out there.
Yeah, he stopped dyeing his hair, by the way. He told me that just a few minutes ago.
Stopped dyeing his hair? At some point, who are you kidding, right?
Hey, tell us about go ahead, tell us about your new book, brother.
Yeah, so we're out here on the big book tour. We call it the Culture Jihad Book Tour. And for some reason, TSA keeps really giving us a hard time about that, guys. I'm not quite sure why. This is a pretty exciting book, and I just this is book number 5 for me. And this book explores what the left is trying to do to this country. They're waging a bloodless jihad on our traditions, on our culture, and quite frankly, on our president, as has been demonstrated over the past few days in Washington. So this is an important book for people of faith to read in advance of the 2020 presidential election. Anybody who thinks they're going to sit this one out, they can't do it. You can't sit these elections out anymore. We've got to stand up. We've got to take a stand, or else the leftists and the socialists are going to take over the country.
Hey, Todd, here. Maybe one reason why TSA is giving you trouble about your new book, Culture Jihad, is because the cover shows the U.S. Capitol engulfed in flames. Do you think the threat is that serious? I mean, you're the image on the cover. It looks like we're talking about the end of the republic. Are you engaging in some hyperbole, or do you think the threat is that real?
No, sir. The threat is that real, guys. My last book, The Deplorables, I told people in that book that the biggest story coming out of 2016 was not going to be Donald Trump's election. It was going to be the rise of socialism in the Democrat Party. And over the past 2 years, we've seen socialism explode. The Democrats have pretty much been taken over by the socialists. And we lay all of this out in the book, all of the examples, all of the evidence that shows how quickly we are rolling down the path towards socialism. And if the socialists do take control, then I believe Barack Obama's threat to fundamentally transform America will be completed. And that's why, you know, I'm issuing this call to action for people of faith. You know, yesterday I was speaking to 10,000 students at Liberty University, and I told them that Christians have a unique obligation to stand up and fight for liberty and freedom in this country. And if we don't do it, nobody else is going to.
Todd, Obviously, the eyes of the nation now are on this whole impeachment question, the thing that's playing out in Washington. How does what is happening in Washington today, the hearings and what the Democrats do, how does this fit into the bigger picture of the culture jihad you're talking about in your book?
So a couple of years ago, I was watching a documentary. This is really how I came up with the name for the book. I noticed that the Islamic radicals, whenever they would invade a country, the first thing they would do would they went after the museums and the cultural centers of the country. In Iraq, for example, they intentionally targeted the museums, and they literally turned ancient history into rubble. They burned books. They banned artwork that they found to be offensive. And I realized this is exactly what's happening in this country. For years now, the left have been waging a silent jihad against religious liberty. And that's important, guys, because religious liberty is the foundation freedom for our nation. It was the first freedom that our founding fathers agreed upon. And when you chip away at our first freedom, everything else begins to crumble. And that's what we've seen here. I write in the book about how free speech is under attack on university campuses. People like Jerry Seinfeld won't even do a concert on a college campus because of the political correctness. I write about efforts to ban books like To Kill a Mockingbird and Little House on the Prairie. And we also talk about the banning of artwork in San Francisco, for example. They're debating over whether or not to ban a mural of George Washington. So these are some of the examples we talk about in culture jihad.
Talking to Todd Starnes. Todd's the author of the new book, Culture Jihad. Where can people buy this book?
Well, folks can get it wherever you buy your books, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million. You can also get it on Amazon, and you can get an autographed copy at toddstarnes.com.
Todd Starnes, STARNES.com. Fred, you had a question?
Yeah, Todd, I was speaking yesterday to some of the leaders of Fox Radio. I don't sure if you're familiar with that network.
Yeah.
But I've heard of them.
But we got discussing about the role that media is playing in what you call this culture jihad. Talk to me a little bit about what has happened in the media, the news media in particular in this country.
You know, one of the things that really concerns me about the media, I'm an opinion guy, so I get paid to give my opinion. I'm allowed to be biased. But reporters are not. They're supposed to be, you know, straight down the middle. And we're missing that. I'm afraid that many of our newsrooms have been weaponized to take out Republicans and to take out Christian conservatives. And there's a wealth of evidence to that point. But beyond that, you really wonder what the point of the media is. You know, yesterday, guys, I don't know if y'all followed the story. There was some college kid. He was trying to do something nice to raise money for sick kids. And anyway, a reporter went back and looked at something he tweeted when he was 16 years old, and now the poor guy is just being, attacked in the mainstream media. I mean, this is why people do not like journalists, because of nonsense like that.
Hey, Todd, so you're at this National Quartet Convention in Pigeon Forge today. Are you going to be singing at all, or what?
No, they're not going to let me sing.
Okay. So what do you report? How do you report on that?
Well, I'm not reporting. They want me to speak.
Are you going to speak? Go ahead.
Tim, you may not know this, and I don't mean to brag. So this is not It is what it is. But there are a lot of middle-aged women here, and they consider me to be like, I'm like the Justin Bieber of this demographic.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right, Todd. We don't believe that.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that.
That could be the sweet tea talking, Todd.
All right. Hey, take care, Todd. Talk to you next time.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, bye-bye. We'll be back momentarily with more. Abe Hamilton on the way.
You can use this information right here.
Tim Wildman discusses life's most important issues.
So you could have a sea turtle alive out there right now that was here during the Civil War.
It's like getting a university degree.
kind of.
Tell the world.
Here's what's the question. How wide is the wingspan of the world's largest roach species?
Listen to the Trivia Friday edition of Today's Issues, Friday mornings at 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Trivia Friday.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You've been hearing about our Holy Land tour coming up in March, March 12th through the 20th. Well, it's filling up. In fact, I expect us to be full in the next few weeks. So if you're interested in going with us, if this is your bucket list trip and maybe this is the year you'd like to go, just go to the website twholyland.com. twholyland.com. You know, the great thing about our trip to the Holy Land is experiencing it with brothers and sisters from across the country, many of whom listen to American Family Radio and support American Family Association. So you're going to be with folks of like mind and like spirit. We're going to have a wonderful time visiting Israel. So for more information, go to the website twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
New York City opens the door to illegal immigrants. That story next. Todd Starnes here. You know, America is facing dangers of socialism and secularism every day, and we need young people who stand for freedom. At Liberty University, they're training the next generation of faith-based conservative leaders who will be on the front lines of this culture war. Professors teach their students about free enterprise, individual freedom, and the Constitution from a Judeo-Christian perspective. So join Liberty University in training the conservative leaders of tomorrow. Text GIVE to 839-858 today. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio is making it easier for illegal immigrants to apply for taxpayer-funded public housing. Applicants will no longer have to submit a credit rating, Social Security card, or taxpayer identification card, provided they can show proof they pay their rent on time. Federal housing programs ban illegals, but not New York City housing programs. Critics say the mayor's plan is unfair to law-abiding American citizens. That's because the illegals will be able to participate in a lottery that already attracts more than 500 applicants for each available unit. In other words, there's a very real chance an American family could lose out to an illegal immigrant family. For years, I've asked Democrats to explain whether the needs of Americans should take priority over the needs of illegals. Now we know the answer. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. As trade wars escalate between China and the U.S., America's dangerous dependence on China for vital medicines could have lethal consequences. Whether it's penicillin, heparin, a host of medicines to treat our most common and not so common ailments, birth control, over-the-counter vitamins, supplements, or painkillers, and the list goes on and on. Most likely, China either supplies one of the key ingredients for it or manufactures it themselves. Between receiving contaminated meds during times of peace and the U.S. not producing any of the vital meds that would be needed in wartime, it should make us think and cause us to ask, as the New American Magazine rightly questions, quoting, "Beijing is synonymous with human rights violations, espionage, and cyber hacking. Would China scruple to withhold vital antibiotics, sell placebos in place of real medicine, or even lace drugs with lethal contaminants in wartime?" Unquote. This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano, Fred Jackson, and Ray Pritchard. And we thank you for listening. If you would like to send us an email, you can do so at comments@afr.net. That's the email address to write us, comments@afr.net. As Ed said earlier in the hour, we have a Facebook and a YouTube page where you can listen to the show, watch the show there. Just type in Today's Issues and go there. And check that out. And we on the Facebook page, we post the stories that we talk about. So if we discuss something here, because we want you to have the source of the information that we are discussing for yourself. So check that out.
In studio with us now is Abraham Hamilton III. Abe is the host of the Hamilton Corner each afternoon at 5 o'clock Central Time here on AFR, and he is our general counsel here at American Family Association and is a constitutional attorney. Good morning, Abe.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
I haven't seen you in a while. I've been gone. You've been gone. So
yeah.
Because you've aged a little bit. I just know. Of course, you got how many children?
Five.
So that'll age you. That'll age you.
It ages me just thinking about him having five kids.
All right. So we're going. The question for you is that I have is constitutionally impeaching a president. First of all, historically, that's only happened twice.
Yes.
And now in the case, it was Bill Clinton. What was the other?
Andrew Johnson, 1868.
Now, with Bill Clinton, though, he was impeached by the House of Representatives, but he wasn't removed from office because it stalled in the Senate. Is that right?
Yes. So the way the same thing applies to Andrew Johnson, too, by the way. The way the procedure works is should the House of Representatives make a determination that articles of impeachment are in order, the House of Representatives Judiciary Committee must first draft and file the articles of impeachment and have the vote. A simple majority of the House Judiciary Committee would then bring the issue of impeachment to the floor of the House of Representatives. The House of Representatives, by a simple majority, can vote to affirm the listed and drafted articles of impeachment. But what's important to note is that impeachment is a big word with big implications, but it really constitutionally is simply an accusation. An affirmative vote by the Judiciary Committee followed by an affirmative vote by the entire House of Representatives to move forward on impeachment, all that does is set the stage for the Senate to host a trial on the articles of impeachment.
Okay, what are the Democrats, I mean, we've heard impeachment almost since day one.
Not all. We have impeachment,
and you know they announced themselves the resistance,
right?
Yes.
Since the president was elected and sworn into office, and you know now and occupy first day you occupy the Oval Office. So, the Democrats and the liberal news media. Pretty soon, I'm just going to start calling them the communist news media. Liberals too soft.
I mean. A word Democrats and the news media is kind of one and the same, unfortunately.
But they've been after him since day one and even before, as we know.
Yes.
I'm wondering if Nancy Pelosi, who's resisted this heretofore, mm-hmm. which is my word, and I'm known for, they've resisted this heretofore, have not. Metaphor bitten off more than they can chew with this one, politically speaking. I know we've changed now from the legal aspect to political aspect, but they merged. You've got to have a certain number of House members to vote in favor of impeachment, and then it moves to the Senate. We all know it's not going anywhere in the Senate. At least that's what I think.
Right. And I'll explain why. So
go ahead.
A simple majority is all that's needed to impeach in the House. So you only need 218 votes in the House to do it. As far as I'm aware right now, they still don't have 218 Democrats that are willing to do it, even though they have a
majority. Now, my understanding is they have now gotten
they
to
now
that
have
number.
That? Okay.
But nobody's quite sure what that number is talking about when
exactly.
they say, yeah, we'll vote for impeachment.
What are the accusations?
Right.
What are the allegations?
That's what I'm saying. They don't have
the basis of it.
Yeah.
And then if the House does vote to impeach, hypothetically speaking, then the Senate would have to host a trial on the articles of impeachment. And in order for a president to be removed from office, there has to be a supermajority of senators.
There's not going to be. Go ahead, Ray. You want to jump in here?
Abe, the Constitution talks about high crimes and misdemeanors.
Yes.
That's a phrase we've heard, but we don't really understand. Historically, when talking about impeachment, what does that mean? What does it cover?
Yeah, so I have to do a little bit of background because initially the only grounds that the founders were considering to allow for the impeachment of the executive, the president, was bribery and treason. Treason is defined explicitly in Article 3, Section 3, Clause 4 of the Constitution. Bribery is commonly understood in common law as using your office to enrich yourself personally. So then there was an argument saying that there has to be another basis that allows for it to happen. Long story short, they concluded on other high crimes and misdemeanors, which does, I would argue, include obviously felonies, but not limited to that. And I'll just read briefly a paragraph from the Federalist Papers where Alexander Hamilton attempted to explain it. And when he said, referring to high crimes and misdemeanors, he said it were those offenses which proceed from the misconduct of public men, or in other words, from the abuse or violation of some public trust. They are of a nature which may, with peculiar propriety, be denominated political, as they relate chiefly to injuries done immediately to the society itself, end quote. So that's what Alexander Hamilton referred to it as. The bottom line is that the House of Representatives does have the authority to determine whether or not they believe something rises to the levels of high crimes and misdemeanors, but the Senate would have to concur in that in order for anything to happen as a result. So there has been no federal definition for high crimes and misdemeanors, and I think that's done intentionally to allow the House of Representatives to have wide authority to make that determination.
Brent. Well, to go along with what Abe is just talking, I want to play a montage. It's going to be cut three, Brent, of Democrats saying this phone call that the president made to the new president of the Ukraine constitutes grounds for impeachment. So let's have a listen, cut number three.
When you ask someone to do a favor, you owe that person something in return. And when that person is a foreign leader, that means as president of the United States, one day you will have to put a foreign leader's interests ahead of America's interests.
This is a powder keg.
Coercing a foreign leader into digging up dirt against a political rival for the president's political gain to win re-election.
Even if there were absolutely no hint of quid pro quo, the demand itself is a betrayal of the presidency and a misuse of that office. And any use of the presidency for private, personal, political gain is a violation of his oath and ought to be impeachable as an offense.
All right, Ed, go.
All right. So let me ask you, Abe.
I want your opinion, too. Go ahead.
Oh, opinion on what?
You've read all this stuff.
Well,
and then
I'll give my opinion, but then I want the legal eagle. I think that if President Trump had specifically said to me for some sort of a crime or some sort of a abrogation of your oath of office or whatever.
Or to rise to the level of an impeachment
yes.
offense.
There has to have been a meeting of the minds between President Trump and the president of the Ukraine. In other words, the only way I think it's impeachable is if President Trump says, hey, I want to get Joe Biden. Excuse me. I want you to dig up the dirt to sink his campaign. And if you do that, I will do X, Y, or Z for your country. To me, that would have been very serious. So what I want to add, but I don't think that's what happened. I don't think President Trump is disciplined enough to lay out an argument like that. Because he's just, in my opinion, he's just talking to the president. And he doesn't think it's right, the kind of corruption that went
on
in Ukraine. He doesn't think it's right that former Vice President Joe Biden's getting away with it. And he would like to see this investigated. And I think that's all he was doing. But I want you to put the best possible spin on the transcript and the worst possible spin in terms of legal procedures.
Well, I can't do that because I haven't read the transcript yet.
Oh, okay.
I was flying all day yesterday, so I'm planning to...
Well, neither have the Democrats, but that's...
planning to read the transcript once we get
Nancy
off the
Pelosi
air.
Nancy Pelosi announced impeachment morning. Before she even read it.
I know. That's what's hilarious to me. Like, she announced the impeachment.
But that's typical for her because she wants to announce something before, and then we can find out what's in it.
Yes.
Later. Remember that?
She's done that.
Do you think it's reasonable to say that for there to have been some sort of appeal... a this for that, quid pro quo, mm-hmm. that there has to actually be a meeting of the minds? I mean, where both parties understand what's being discussed?
Yeah, in order for there to be a quid pro quo, there must be a quid and a pro and a quo. you can't have a quid pro quo without a meeting of the minds. But I'll tell you what I think is happening here. I think Nancy Pelosi stepped in it prematurely. There's evidence coming out that suggests there were a whole host of Obama administration officials, Clinton acolytes that were involved in working in the Ukraine, And so once some of that stuff was coming to the surface, I think it may be an effort to, because just as Tim pointed out, Nancy Pelosi resisted this for so long. So what all of a sudden made her do an about face? And I think that it's an effort to try to paper this towards Trump to take the attention away from a lot of the Obama administration officials who were involved in the corruption.
They did that with Russia. They did that with the Russia investigation. They accused Trump of doing what they had done.
And that is why I think you saw Nancy Pelosi heel turn about face, because she realized, we have stepped into it. So we need to try to make as much noise as possible about impeachment to keep the eyes of the American public away from these other people.
Hey, Fred wants to go now, but Fred's got a question. But I got a conspiratorial theory coming up in a minute.
And then Ray, you give your conspiracy.
Got it.
Right, right. And mine involves Bigfoot. But now you can laugh if you want to, but hear me out. Okay. Hear me out.
Sure.
Go ahead, Fred.
You know, all kinds of speculation and charges being made with regards to this Trump-Zelensky phone call. But what we do know for sure, because Joe Biden bragged about it.
Yes.
Bragged about it.
Yes, I played the audio on the show. Yes.
You got 6 hours to call off that prosecutor investigating the
company. We got it again. It's classic. It's a classic, guys.
It's a classic.
It's being requested all over the country. It's a hit. Yeah. Let's hear
it again. Have you got that clip of Joe?
Joe Biden.
We're not going to give you the $1 billion. They said, you have no authority. You're not the president. The president said. I said, call him. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, 6 hours? I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Got fired.
He said, expletive, he got fired.
Yes.
It sounded like to me he had about 3 beers right there, too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Sitting around with the boys going, you know, listen to what I did. I told that what to do, and he did it.
Yeah.
What he was doing there, folks, if you don't know the context, he was bragging about getting a Ukrainian prosecutor fired.
The equivalent of the American Attorney General is the prosecutor he's referring to.
Really? Was that high level?
Yes. The prosecutor that Joe Biden is referring to having forced his termination is the equivalent of the U.S.'s attorney general.
Why did he want him fired?
He wanted him fired because the prosecutor in Ukraine had opened an investigation into Rosemont Seneca Partners, Rosemont Capital,
which is
Hunter
Biden's
company.
Hunter was being paid $50,000 a month.
A month.
Not total.
And
for 3 years.
The Ukrainian prosecutor was investigating the corporation. And this is Joe Biden in 2018.
Vice president.
He's bragging of what he did when he was vice president.
Yes.
He wasn't vice president at this time, and that's in a speech before the Council on Foreign Relations. So these are people that Biden is kind of pounding his chest and preening like a peacock before and bragging about how he was able to force the ouster of this prosecutor who just happened to be investigating his son's company at that time.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Ed, Fred, Abe's in the studio with us. Abe is a constitutional lawyer, so that's the reason we're discussing this impeachment matter with him. Ray is on the phone with us, or not on the phone. Ray's joining us from Kansas City, Kansas, and we've been discussing what a lot of people are discussing, what's in the news today with the events in Washington, D.C. Okay, here's my conspiracy theory that I don't know I buy myself, but it
involves Bigfoot, you're by yourself.
It is. Tell me what you think about it. Ray, I'll get your opinion first.
Okay.
Okay, your reaction first, and then
we'll go
around the table. Okay. And I'll tell you where this originated. It was me and my golf buddy yesterday, about 5:30 on hole 3. And, you know, you got a lot of time to talk when you're golfing 18 holes. Right, so he said to me something about the effect, hey, do you think maybe whoever did this was not only trying to take out Trump, but also trying to take out Biden? Because Biden is not the candidate that these far lefties want.
Right.
He's too mild-mannered. He's too
establishment.
Too establishment, Ray.
He's an old
white guy. I mean, you could take out two for one right here, because the reason is, if you get into these impeachment hearings, you're going to by necessity have to talk about the Senate, the the House, they're going to want to interview Joe Biden.
Republican son. Republican members will.
I mean, Joe Biden is just wishing this would go away. Go ahead. So what about two for one? The idea that maybe somebody in the progressive movement thought, well, we can whistleblow here. Doesn't look good for Biden. He sinks in the polls. We get Elizabeth Warren and Donald Trump's in trouble. What about that idea?
That's not even a conspiracy theory. I think that's just the facts of the matter.
You really think so?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Because everything you said is factually true. It's exactly what's going to happen. Biden, maybe the Democrats don't want it, but that whole part of the story is going to come out. And over in the corner, Sanders and Elizabeth Warren and the others are going to be silently cheering among themselves, because anything that makes Biden look bad helps the other candidates, right? I'm signing on to that.
Okay. What about you, Abe?
Yeah, I don't think it's far afield. You know, it's interesting. Tell me if you heard this one before. The initial, opposition research to accumulate this information about Joe Biden, you want to know where it came from?
Where?
The Hillary Clinton campaign prior to 2016, because she wanted to have insurance that Joe Biden wouldn't get into the race. So,
wait, what? Wow. Say that again.
Whoa. Say it.
Yes.
Do that again.
Yes. So the Clinton campaign acolytes, I'll say it that way, were some of the earliest leakers of this information amongst Democratic folks in the know prior to the run-up to the 2016 election, because she wanted to make sure Joe Biden wouldn't try to put his hat in the race.
And he didn't.
And he did not. So there are some people who are saying exactly what you're saying. I try to keep my ear to the street in the Democratic Party.
Right.
Across, there are some people that are saying that that the Clintons were the ones who were the earliest ones to accumulate this information, kind of while it's happening. Say, all right, keeping notes on you, Joe Biden, to make sure he didn't get into the race. And so there's some who are arguing that some of those people want to help other Democratic candidates run for the presidency other than Joe Biden.
Ed, you go, then Fred go.
Do you think, because I've been, when I go and just scour some of the headlines, I see headlines like, is Hillary Clinton going on a listening tour? You know, is she considering a rerun for president? Do you think that some of this is being kicked out there to help Hillary specifically?
I don't know.
Is that too far?
She's done.
Yeah, I think it's too far. I would love it personally.
Yeah.
But I think that's too far.
I just want to say this one quick thing. I think it's fascinating that around every pile of stink, it's always the Clintons.
Yeah, the Clintons are there somewhere at the bottom of it.
They're always around.
Fred, go.
You know, we're hearing all this outrage from the Democrats right now about this phone call, et cetera, et cetera. And they want to impeach this president. They think he's guilty. I want to take you back memory lane, 1998. All right. Then the Democrats were accusing the Republicans who wanted to impeach Bill Clinton, President Bill Clinton.
Who lied under oath.
Who committed a felony.
Listen to what they had to say about the motivations.
This
is 1998. Listen to what they had to say about the motivations they claimed.
Who are we going to hear from?
We're going to hear Nancy Pelosi. We're going to hear Schumer.
Jerry Nadler.
Yeah, he was a few pounds heavier.
A sumo wrestler at the time.
Okay. Cut number seven there, Mr. Brent.
They are driven by hatred. They hate Bill and Hillary Clinton so much they will stop at nothing to bring him down.
Because we are here today because the Republicans in the House are paralyzed with hatred of President Clinton, and until the Republicans free themselves of this hatred, our country will suffer.
And one of the reasons we all feel so angry about what they are doing is that they are ripping from us, they are ripping asunder our votes. They are telling us that our votes don't count.
Okay.
There must never be a narrowly voted impeachment.
What you're saying is, in 98, is it 98? 98, that the Democrats were
outraged
about impeachment.
They sound, I'm just telling you, just being honest, they sound back then like we do now.
Yes.
They're saying the same things.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Except
of course they were wrong, but you know,
we know Bill Clinton was guilty of.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying that they're saying you're trying to undo the election, You're just paralyzed. You just have so much hatred. You're blinded by hatred.
Mm-hmm. Okay, back. Let's get back to the legal question here because, okay, if the Democrats and if Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, and the Democrats are serious now, today seems to me they need to introduce the articles of impeachment, right? Where do we go from here? They've just thrown this out two or three days ago, and now where do we go from this? Because this is what they've done is, you know, they've opened up the silo, right? And they're about to hit the green button for the nuclear rocket to take off. Go ahead.
Yeah, if they were so confident, they would need to file formal articles of impeachment. You know,
are they going
to
do that today or tomorrow?
I don't know. I mean,
can you do that without having a hearing, without letting Republicans?
It would have to occur in the House Judiciary Committee first.
Democrats don't need no stinking hearing.
So
they decided before he's even inaugurated.
I know, so, but right. In terms of the process,
the process they can file them. They would have to. There's no rule that says it has to be a public hearing or anything, but they would have to file them with the Judiciary Committee first. So that would give the Republicans on the Judiciary Committee an opportunity to weigh in and to, you know, lambast the proposed articles of impeachment. But they have a majority of Democrats on the Judiciary Committee. Right. So regardless of what the Republicans
say. So what have they done? I don't understand the difference. I'm trying to understand the difference between articles of impeachment and an inquiry of impeachment.
Yeah, so that is the magic distinction. So far, what Nancy Pelosi has announced is that they are inquiring as to what the specific articles of impeachment.
She's all in. She has to be now.
Yeah.
She shouldn't have never done that.
Yeah, she shouldn't have done that.
If she's not willing to go to the mat with this thing, she should have never. You're not going to get away with a halfway promise to these crazies on the far left. They'll have her head.
Yeah.
They'll be at her door.
Because if you have an inquiry without filing articles of impeachment, then what you're saying is, we don't see anything wrong here.
That's right.
And there's no way she can say that.
So you got to go. You got to go full board.
You
got to
go all the way.
Right,
Ray?
You're right.
Yeah, you do.
You got to
go all the way.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see too, because you got to make the American people. I saw a survey the other day of the general American public, and 65-66% of the general American public were against impeachment. All right. So that would mean 33% would be in favor of it, which is about probably the percentage of Americans who just have Trump, either hate President Trump, have Trump derangement syndrome, right, or Democrats that would anything to get this guy out.
Yeah.
So, but that's why the Democrats, one of the reasons why they resisted going down this road is because this is an unpopular idea with the majority, you might argue a vast majority of Americans, that is spending your, you know what? You got an impeachment vote. You know when it is? A year from November.
Yeah.
All right.
I know Democrat voters who say they're embarrassed by this because it seems they're afraid to take on President Trump at the ballot box. They're trying everything except beating him at the ballot box. And I think they're putting whoever the eventual Democrat nominee in a difficult position because they will either be forced to embrace impeachment talk or to reject impeachment talk, but either way,
yes,
they jeopardize themselves with the Democrat base.
Yes, but when you combine that with the long list of accomplishments the Democrats have had the last couple of years in Congress, I think, you know what I'm saying? I think that's a
record to run on.
Yes. All right. Thank you, Abe.
Thank you,
5 o'clock, 5:05 this afternoon, Central.
5:05. I will have read the transcript.
What are you going to talk about?
I want to read the transcript first. I'm not like Nancy Pelosi. You don't have to pass the bill to see what's in it.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Ed, Fred, Ray, and yours truly, we shall return in 5 minutes with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.